Tukla week off to celebrate a kind of a universal spring break. You know, we all have different spring breaks, and I'm sure you that are listening that are maybe in school right now, you also have a different spring break. But we wanted to take last week as our universal spring break and just say, take your time, you know, take a break. I just personally got off my spring break, and I can tell you I did nothing.
Good. Good.
I was just there. You know, I went to the gym, started a little gym time, which is such a personal journey and personal experience to have. You know, I watched some good shows. Oh my gosh, on Hulu, it's the show called Paradise.
I've seen, what's his name? Who's in it?
His name is start with a J. James Marsden.
I thought Paradise was his, I thought it was Sterling K. Brown. All right,
Sterling K. Brown and James Marsden.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful show. I didn't think that I would like get into it, but I did, and now I'm like, oh my gosh, season two needs to come back out. So, you know, I got to like dive into some shows. Also, if anybody that is listening have any type of show or movie recs, please let me know, because I love to just sit on my couch and just turn my brain off and watch, you know. So yeah,
I'm actually about literally just started my spring break, and y'all, I wish I could say brain gonna be off, but I can at least say I will get some more sleep. That's all I can do for myself at this point.
You do have something big that is like
right
over
right
you.
Yeah, we're in dissertation land, everybody. Like, it's great, it's a great place to be, but every single moment that I'm not doing something active, I'm like, I gotta be doing here, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm at least still very happy for a break. I'm like, ABD status, I'm not gonna have it for more than a quarter, but the idea of just writing and not having to be in classes, I'm not TAing, I'm very excited for that. I love like the studios and everything that I was coaching and teaching, but this break of just getting to like be me and finish this up, I can't wait.
Amen.
I can't wait.
Amen. Michael, what did you do in your spring break?
I negotiated a contract.
That's a choice.
That is a choice.
And we still negotiating the contract.
Orchestra contracts are like that.
They are crazy, y'all. If you never negotiated one, you might want to go try it.
Mm-mm.
If you don't try it, I don't blame.
But you also enjoyed some you time too.
I did. I stayed in Chattanooga, and this was the first time I stayed there for multiple days, besides our Young People's concert. And you know, it's not Atlanta, but it's a cute little city.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved hearing people complain about traffic there. It was my favorite part.
That's hilarious.
Yes. You know, people do that here in Houston. I'm like, the traffic. And I'm like, do y'all not know like where I'm from? Like what I am used to with traffic. Like, yes. Is it packed right now? Yes. However, is it moving? The answer is yes in Houston. In Atlanta, no. We are stuck right here for the next 30, 45, an hour just looking at each other. I can memorize the freaking license plate that's in front of me. That's how long we're sitting here.
Literally. Like, I parked.
Yes. Literally put my car into park. And that's real traffic. These other cities, yes, it is traffic, but it is not it's not as bad as you think it is, you know. But I will say, throughout our break, things happened, and things are always happening, as we talked about. But yeah, something that was so beautiful to see was the Equity Arc concert that happened, and it was beautifully shown from 60 Minutes. Through 60 Minutes, and you know, shout out to that team for that, and shout out Equity Arc, and who we have a friend of the show who is, you know, kind of in that team and who's heading that. And also shout out to Rodney Dorsey as well, and all of those talented children that were there, and to those retired Marine band members who was like, no, we're going to do this. Right. I thought it was beautiful. Did y'all get to like check it out and see it for yourselves?
It was kind of crazy because like it either was a day or like that I hadn't gone on socials until the end of the day. So as soon as I opened like my Facebook, every single person just was like reshare, 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 reshare. And I was like, dang. And I there's like a but different snippets from 60 Minutes and other like news channels sharing it. And then I think even Equity Art put up their own like behind the scenes and everything. So anytime I would like see a video, I would just like stop and be like, first of all, it is beautiful, right? That what ended up happening was beautiful. But the reason why it had to happen is atrocious. And just it's everything that we have been saying was going to happen and what people were afraid of and like sure was going to happen whenever, you know, the arts began to be directly attacked by this current administration. But I think I want to focus just so much on the people who made the actual thing happen and how much coverage, positive coverage it's getting in terms of like these students are getting to be celebrated for what they did, the musicians who stepped up to be with them regardless of what executive orders were, was really beautiful. How Equity Arc flexibly, quickly responded to this scenario and how they were still able to offer this opportunity. Shout out Stanford for your leadership, like longtime friend of the pod. Like it truly takes a leader with a vision and who can see beyond just like this one hill, this one hump, this one dip, to go, well, what's next, you know? And I think that's just, it's just inspiring to see that level of like agility right now, because I think that we're gonna have to be agile like during these next 4 years or so that we're, you know, as a country committed to what the current administration is, we have to be agile. So shout out to Equity Arc, all yearly. I'm sure it took a team, a village, as it always does, staff, board, supporters, donors, sponsors to make that happen. But truly an inspiration.
Michael, you're speaking and.
Sorry, someone tried to call me, so I turned it off so y'all didn't hear my little bum, 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 because I forgot everything is connected. But it is amazing to see what happens in the face of adversity. Like, that is truly awesome. The fact that there had to be adversity still sucks. It's stupid. But also, did y'all see the thing by Kennedy Center saying everybody is welcome?
Right. It's, and here's the thing that I do want to offer, because I went on the Kennedy Center's page and I was interested in seeing like their Facebook page to see how people were responding to them and everything. And it's a mixed bag, as can be understood, because the truth is there are still people at working at the Kennedy Center who are just feeling the effects of this administration just as we are, if not heavier. So they're marketing people who like have been told to change how they market, like the development team, the education, or the for them, the social impact team. We have to remember that internally, that organization just got flipped on its head, and they're the innocent like workers who did not sign up, right, to be a part of what is currently going on, and they're just trying to survive, or they're trying to remain on the inside so that they can like help in some ways, like pad what is being forced upon them. So I just want to say, while we can, like, it is important for us to push back on the policies that are being like changed, especially for hateful and harmful reasons, remember that there are still human beings there who are trying to do the best that they can given those circumstances. Exactly. So Kennedy Center employees and, you know, y'all who are fighting the good fight from the inside, we're with you. We know how hard that is. The nuances of what's going on, I can't even begin to imagine the decisions y'all have to make on a daily, hourly basis. So we're with you.
I also want to call out some responses that I have heard or really seen in those comments of that YouTube video as well. And some comments that I've heard through the grapevine that some people in our circles have also said in a response to this. If your response to Equity Art concert and the work that they are doing as if OMG, that's BS. Why does it matter the color of their skin? Why it should have been given to the best people, da 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 da, to have that stage. If you are so threatened that there are about 60, 70 students that are talented to beyond anything that you can reach personally, have been given the opportunity to come together with a community with some of the best musicians in our country, some may say in the world, to play a concert, and you, the only thing that you can find to say about it is something negative. That's a thing for you. That is disgusting for you. The projection is all about you because in your head, you're like, why couldn't it have been me? Well, baby, you're just not that talented that you think. Because these musicians, like that, they are the best for those students that perform that music, which, by the way, was not easy music.
No.
At all.
The gallop, the da 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 da. I was
But Enam Gil, like, come on, Gallup, come on, shots to go, bitch.
like,
Come
throwback.
on.
Loved.
And then also shout out Gala Flagello. Her piece was also on it, which I love Bravada. I've been able to do that piece myself. Like, look at that and also look at the programming too, because somebody I think whenever you say DEI, they think of it as a slur nowadays, whenever you say that.
Absolutely.
And in my head, I'm thinking about, well, let's look at that programming as well. You know, you had pieces by Gala, Bravado, you had Shostakovich on it, you had Granger. These are like who you would think is just white men. Like these are white men performing. But guess what? They're still playing. And those pieces, Shostakovich and the Granger, those are the cornerstone pieces in the Wind Ensemble literature.
No, yeah.
What's the rebuttal? What's the rebuttal to the recital?
Not the
Recital.
rebuttal. Recital.
So it, like that, I just heard, I've seen that comments when the video first came out, I was like, let me go read some of these comments. And some of those comments was just absolutely disgusting that,
Oh,
and these are high school students.
it's.
You were taking this away, the credit that they deserve to have, you were taking that away from a high school student.
I hope they feel big.
Correct. Well, I actually hope they feel small because my thing is what I really need us to all understand is DEI is about ensuring talent isn't excluded because of racism, because of sexism, because of all the isms, not the other way around. DEI is not something that we are saying, oh my gosh, we're just going to put anybody and everybody up there. No, it is because before these policies, it was blatant that certain people would not get to certain places because they are Black, they're Asian, they are Latino, they are all the things, they're women, you know, that is why. So then DEI comes to say, no. We are going to make this an equitable playing field. So, yes, we are going to make it look how America looks with the best people to also fit within this. That is what these people are missing.
I just don't think they want to get it.
Well, obviously not, because you go on the internet and look up youth ensembles, youth orchestras, and you can see Carnegie Hall's NYO, you can see all the summer music programs like the Brevard, Tanglewood, etc. And what they in those comments are saying, this they're taking away opportunities. It should just be the best students. Listen, there are so many training programs, development programs for students that don't have any, like, they're not based on anything besides the merit. You come in, you play, they don't do any extra who, what, wah. The thing that Equity Art and other programs like NYO2 are in response for of is the fact that with those traditional training programs for youth, there often is a level of exclusion for groups who come from disenfranchised backgrounds. So these programs are a response. So this other students who you're worried about aren't getting their time at Carnegie Hall and all that, they are. This is making more room because there is more space, there is more resources for students who don't have the resources to have private lessons every year and all these other things, but this is to give them an opportunity to put them on a level playing field with students who do have the resources and the support to get there without anything else. So that, yes, Michael, exactly. We just like the not, they don't want to care. They don't care to go look up. Because like, if I would have saw something, I'm like, oh, well, I wonder if other students get that. A 2 second Google search would have showed you these programs have existed forever for those other students as well. This is not about taking opportunities away from students. It is about offering more opportunities for students. It aggravates me.
Oh, it's so aggravating.
It's like they want to be angry. They want to be angry at something. And unfortunately, in the country and state that we live in, it is okay for little buzzwords to get a whole angry mob ready to go. And my biggest issue is that you've turned your hatred to kids. Kids. Not even 18 years old.
It's
They
crazy.
can't even fight for the country. And you're sitting here spewing vile information, vile words, nasty language in somebody's comment section because you want to be angry at something that you don't even know two things about. Hell, you even know one thing about it. You don't even know the name. You don't even know the name of the organization. But because you heard those little key little letters, phrases, words, you want to go all and have a little riot. Yeah, this is America.
Y'all are allergic to learning. It has to be that. It just has to be it.
It has to be tiring, actually. I said this before, but it must be so tiring to want to be oppressed so badly. So badly. Because now every single time it's like, well, what about us? What about the rest of people? What about, well, you know what? You feel that way. I want you to feel like you're so oppressed. I want you to feel like the world is against you. And can we also just talk about segregation?
Oh.
Because it looks like it might be coming back.
Oh, child, we a recession, segregation. We're just stepping back,
Yes.
way back in the 20th century right now.
Yes.
It's wild.
Because the good old president of the United States signed a bill or executive order, basically just taking away the language that says segregation is illegal. He is taking that language away because it fall under that DEI. Well, to him, it falls under that. So now in federal spaces, if someone wants to have a segregated anything, there's no law or bill or anything saying you can't do that anymore.
Well, isn't that exactly what people in the comment section were actually saying against? Like they were saying, like, why couldn't it shouldn't just be for like the best students? But your president's over here saying actually segregation's good. So now what? This is what I mean. Y'all can't figure out what you actually want.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
they
they
can't
don't know what they
explain
want.
it. And they could never explain it.
They don't know nair a thing.
Not nary one thing. This is a conversation though that I was having earlier this week because we in different entities and organizations I work for with it's been the same question of like, what do we do? How do we respond? Even if some of us have been immediately directly impacted, others have are like waiting for it to happen or trying to be proactive. This is what I have to say to organizations, to individuals, institutions about what you should be doing during this time. Figure out where your power lies. Equity Arc's power comes from the fact that they are a symbol and a beacon of hope that now people are rallying behind. They can support. This is what they do. That is their strength. Their strength does not come from them changing their name, changing their mission statement. Like, no, absolutely not. Their power comes from them standing strong in who they are and getting people behind them. Now, if you are an institution who you provide resources for groups, and you it's under DEI, you have whatever like people who you've hired to do those kinds of things, and it's just a semantics thing of wording in order for you to keep that funding, for you to continue supporting people. That is a conversation you need to have to be able to do that, right? Because like again, the power from you comes from the fact that you get resources, you already have the resources, if that's time, staff time, funding you can get from the government on a certain level in order to help other people who are being directly impacted by these things, that is where your power comes from. If it takes extra time to reword your whatever, if you have to do it, that is where true power can come from. So I think my big thing, my encourager, is to sit down and actually have a conversation about what is possible for you and like how you can best support the people you still want to support. And does that mean changing the name of one of your committees? Does that mean like shifting small keywords in order for people to still be able to get funded? Because that happened in one of my groups that I work for, is that people we're supporting are in the South or in places where they're being even like, especially queer people who are being directly impacted by a lot of things, they're not getting their grant money. Schools are under attack as well, like colleges and institutions. So like nonprofits are going to have a really important role to play in how money is dispersed into communities. And you got to be smart, especially with donor funds. It's like, please, like, figure out your donors who really are about the work. Go to them, talk to them, your board members too. Be smart. Like, be smart. Know where your power comes from. Because, like, I understand the response of, like, oh, we don't need to shift because we need our like constituents need to know that we stand with them. If they already have felt that way, they know that you'll be adjusting in order to protect them. But if you shift things around and you see them go like, wait, why are you doing that? That means you haven't done the actual root work for them to trust you. If they trust you, they're gonna go, I see what you're doing, and I trust that you're doing this for the best reason, for the best judgment, and in my best interest. If you haven't done that emotional buy-in that we talked about when our friends were here on the podcast with us, if you have not done that with your community, it will show during this time.
Oh, it's going to show big time.
It's going to show big time.
And also one other thing about donors. We all know that the donors usually they lean a certain way. They are
Sure.
very old thinking because I mean that's just how nature kind of rolls is that as you get older you start to accrue more financial funds and now you want to give back this and that. And I think it's important to develop language to let the donors know that their funds are going to be put to the best place for the betterment of the community that we serve, the culture that we serve, and the students or and or the beneficiaries of whatever is going to be best, no matter what. Because I can see some donors saying, I want my money for this. And as a person that have been in donor events, my response always, your funds will be going to the best suited person and what is needed to for the betterment of what we have going on here. That is a very clean, concise way to say, look, sweetie, I know what you mean when you say you want your money to go certain ways, but I'm gonna tell you right now, it's gonna go to wherever it is most needed.
Wherever I need it to be.
And in that order.
There are, like, if we want to get real nonprofit nerdy right now for a second, there are donor advised funds or restricted funds where it's like the donors can say, I only want my money to go XYZ 123. And that's like one of the first things I was told, don't you do that. Have conversations with them to let them know, hey, I hear that you're really big on this, 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 and this. And can we talk about how there are other things as well in the full organization, whatever, that also deserve some support, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes you can't get that. Sometimes donors come in and they say, hey, if you want this $10 million, it has to go to this. So be smart. Be smart of it. And if it's for something great, good. And honestly, sometimes it's nice whenever you have partnerships and sponsorships that's like, this has to go to education, actually. Because later on, if you're not in that role, the person who like would want it there, and someone else tries to come into that role and put that money somewhere else, that sponsor's gonna be like, that's for education. My money is only for that, you know? So,
But you do have to have that emotional buy-in with
absolutely.
donors as well as anybody
Yes.
within your community that is, that may be getting anything from your organization. If you're
Yes.
at a school, as we talk about with students, you got to have that with parents, you got to have that with the administrators, you got to have that with just community leaders. So that everybody is buying into the community and the culture that we are cultivating right now. That is what's most important. And until that is really solidified, there's always going to be uncertainty
Yes.
about what we can do, and especially in today's world where so much money, the dismantlement of the DOE happening and what that is going to be like, and how is that specifically going to come to affect music education. Like that is something that has not been talked about. I mean, obviously there's layers, but we got to also think about that too, because we do have a lot of things that come from federal funding.
Yes, true. So many colleges. I mean, all the colleges, right? Technically. Like, yeah, they get
Public
so.
schools, like right now, we have federal funding for specific music education things.
Yeah.
We're
Y'all,
just living in a time.
we're just in a time right
Just
now.
different dates mean just different dates in history. I'm just at this point, my autobiographical is going to be part history book. How
Nah.
much we've lived
Who
through.
writing it?
Me.
Because you said auto, and I was like,
Autobiographical. And it's going to have all them typos too, so you know it's written by me.
hey, and
Authentic. The
that's
whole thing's gonna the whole thing's gonna be every chapter's gonna be one run-on sentence.
dang.
That sounds like Michael. Because that is me.
That's a kind of cute formatting idea.
Right? It's
It really
just like the inner monologue just straight out.
I hope it's not handwritten.
Ooh.
Y'all know I can't do that. What am I? What if for real gonna do is I'm gonna get like a little dictaphone. Chapter one.
Hate that.
The thing is,
Michael could really talk the whole time and write a whole.
I could chop. Yo, that's how. If I could have someone just like transcribe my dictaphone, I could have a dissertation tomorrow. Give me
Crazy.
5 hours. Give me 5 hours and me talking. I got you. Now you make me write it. I'm be like,
Here's one word that sums up this entire dissertation.
it'd be like, use more air, period.
Ooh, boom.
That's
I mean,
where
short and simple.
love. Well, y'all, it is a time we are living in, but just community, community, community. I can't emphasize it enough, like for your own personal needs, but also for like pushing back against what's happening. Like, learn what's going on in your local communities, learn how you can support, just be in support of people who are being directly impacted and like maybe about to be directly impacted by all of this. And it's not gonna last forever. We know how history goes. This is a moment of time. Just make sure that when we're on the other side of this, that you can feel like I did something during this. I
And
was a part of making it better.
can we just remember, if we don't do nothing, history will repeat itself. I'm pretty sure I speak for everybody. We ain't trying to let no history repeat itself. So just remember that.
Continue to support your organizations that represent who you are and how you feel about the world and how you want the world to be. Mm-hmm. That's it. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Let us know what you think down below. Message us. Talk to us. We'd love to hear about it. All right. See ya next week. Bye.